So for those who haven't been here recently, we've been working through a series for most of this year so far around the word become. We kind of have three value words as a church: beloved, that we would know that we are the beloved of God and enjoy a relationship with God through his love. Belong, that we have a space in God's family, not just some metaphysical thing that, like, yeah, I'm a part of God's family, but that we actually have like a real place of belonging with people, that we would sense that and know that and feel that welcome. And then the third word we have is become, that we are not what God wants us to ultimately be, that so many biblical images of growth and of a clay being molded, of that God is turning us into something. We're not just here waiting for some heaven out there, but God is actually here living among us and shaping us into something right here, right now, today, and we participate in that becoming. Today, we're going to talk about, I've struggled to put language to exactly what we're talking about, which is strange when I'm preaching, but that we're shaped in two directions. I'm going to start by reading a very, very common passage, one that most of us know. We talk about it a lot here at Covenant. And this is, Jesus is engaging with some experts in religious law. It's in Matthew 22, starting at verse 35. And one of these people comes to him and says, one of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question: "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commands." When we think of our becoming, we think of, am I growing in love for God and am I growing in love for other people? Love reaches out in these two directions, you could say, like vertically and horizontally, up, like upwards to God and outwards to people around us, whether it's siblings or neighbors or even, as Jesus talks about, our enemies. When we think about our becoming, healthy growth includes both vertical and horizontal dimensions. What I want us to consider today is when we talk about loving God and loving neighbors, we can think about what we are doing upward and outward. What I want to think about today is that healthy growth requires both, also, it's not just about outward stuff. It requires both vertical and horizontal influence. That God comes in to change us, and that the people around us come in and they change us and help us grow. This loving God and loving neighbors isn't just what we do out, but it's actually what comes into us and shapes us and changes us and helps us to actually become what God wants us to be. Engaging in two directions, being influenced by fostering our connection with God and our relationship with others, both of these are essential to our becoming. We need both to grow into all that God has for us. Let's look at these two directions separately for a second. Vertical growth. We grow not just in our love for God, but through our relationship with God. You know, last week we talked about our call to, that we need to focus on Christ, the one who is God incarnate. The song we just sang about seeking the kingdom of God above all else. The prayer that I've shared that I'm praying for us this year in 2 Peter, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus in Matthew, this is actually the first song we sang, touches on this. In Matthew, he spoke to people saying, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." There's this invitation into a connection with God through Christ, that we grow through that connection. As we foster that connection, it's not just a connection with someone who is out there. Because one of the things we believe is that we've actually received the Spirit of Christ in us. It's a relationship with one who is so close to us, so connected to us, that he dwells in us. In John 14, Jesus is talking about what's going to happen when he leaves. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. I love this. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. That we have this connection with God, and we grow through that connection. Not just that we would, you know, sing better praise songs or check more obedience things off the list, but we're actually formed as we continue to engage God, and the Spirit is in us, shaping us. And that kind of brings us to the third thing I just want to highlight in this regard, is that it's a relationship. It's not one way from God or one way from us. It's a connection. It's a relationship. I love it when the disciples are talking to Jesus, trying to figure out how to live well in connection with God. One of their foundational questions is, you know, how should we pray? How should we talk with God? How should we commune and engage with God? And Jesus' response isn't if you pray. It's when you pray. When you spend this time in relationship, connection, talking with and hearing from God, this is how you do it. It's a relationship that we have with God that we need to foster if we're going to grow the way God wants us to be. John 15, I think this image that Jesus uses really touches on the depth of, or the level of connection we are to have with God. He says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. See, there's mutuality there. It's a both and. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Then he says in verse 9, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. This is this relational connection where Jesus is reaching into our lives by the Spirit. God is reaching into us and we are reaching to God. And through that influence, we grow into what God wants us to be. For most of us, that's like, well, duh, of course. But it's sometimes good to state the things that we think are obvious. We've got to stay in connection with God if we're going to become what we're called to be, what God wants us to be. The other direction is horizontal growth, that we grow through our relationship with each other. Looking at that John 15 passage, I got to verse 9. It says, I've loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. Shortly after that, in verse 11, Jesus continues. He says, I've told you these things that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And then verse 16, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. This connection with God that Jesus talks about, this relational intimacy, being like connected like branches are connected to vines, isn't just vertical. In fact, Jesus links together connecting with Jesus, connecting with him, and connecting with others, loving each other. It's these connections together that help us to bear fruit, to use the language of that, which to grow healthy and strong, to embody the way of Jesus in the world. We need each other. Now, that's not original to Jesus, the idea that we need each other. Way back in the ancient wisdom literature, there talks a lot about how we're supposed to live together. Proverbs 27, verse 17, many of us have heard before, says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Like, this is how we get better, by being in a relationship with each other. But has anybody ever watched a knife being sharpened? What happens to make a knife sharper? Pardon me? Yeah, it's scraping stuff off, right? That's a hard process. But that makes us not necessarily want to be with each other. But it's necessary if we're going to be what we're supposed to be. Ecclesiastes 4 says this. It says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. It's just part of how we are created to be in this together, that we would shape each other in positive ways so that we can be healthy and strong. When you get into the New Testament, this dominates the New Testament writing. A lot of times we read the New Testament, and we're a very individualistic society, and so every time it says you, we think it's about me, forgetting that you is a plural word. It actually, in English, until not that long ago, you was almost always plural. Thou was singular. But we've kind of changed that around, and so we read it all about me, and most of the time it's about you, like us together, how we do this. And in the New Testament, there is almost 60 times where there are instructions about how we are to be with one another. This one another language is all over the place in the New Testament writing. As people say, okay, how do we live out the way of Jesus? Well, it's going to involve us figuring this out together and helping each other on this journey. I mean, it starts in Romans 12. I mean, that doesn't start, but there's a foundational piece where Paul is writing and he says, we are parts of one body. We all belong to each other. That can be really comforting and it can be really intimidating. That we belong to each other. And then I just have a sample of some of the one another's that are scattered throughout the New Testament. But we're told to love one another. That we're told that at least 16 times in the New Testament. We're told to honor one another above yourselves. Build up one another. Serve one another. Bear one another's burdens. Look to the interests of one another. Bear with one another. Encourage one another. Stir up one another to love and good works. That's like provoke each other, stimulate each other to love and good works. And pray for one another. And just in case, we want to start thinking that, yeah, that's all good, but I don't really need other people to do this. In Hebrews, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises faithful. So that's the vertical. Let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. As great as technology is, and as learning online, and even engaging in Sunday mornings online can be, it doesn't replace being in relationship with people, where you're actually talking and connecting and hearing and rubbing up against each other in all the hard and good and beautiful ways. We need each other. So I was thinking about this week. I thought about the planting technique, the three sisters. You guys are familiar with that in indigenous agriculture? This is Wikipedia's description of it, nice and concise. In a technique known as companion planting, the maize, that's the corn, and the beans are often planted together in mounds formed by hilling soil around the base of the plants each year. Squash is typically planted between the mounds. The corn stalk serves as a trellis for the climbing beans. The beans fix nitrogen in their root nodules and stabilize the maize in high winds. And the wide leaves of the squash plant shade the ground, keeping the soil moist and helping prevent the establishment of weeds. So you have these three plants that get planted together, and each one helps the other in some way, shape, or form. Anybody, is this new to anybody? Okay. But what happens is, and this is from a doctoral student in plant pathology, he just wrote it this way. He said, the yields of each crop grown using the three sisters method can be higher than when they are grown individually. A field of corn is great for a maize, and it's really efficient for planting and harvesting, but you're not going to get as much per stalk as if you plant with other things. It's great for commercialization, not good for actual production, like the healthiest plants. The same is true of beans or squash. And then when they're put together, yeah, it might take longer to harvest and do the work, and it needs to be cultivated in smaller areas, but the plants are going to, each of them are going to be so much healthier and stronger. As these plants bear the healthiest fruit when they're in relationship with both the vertical, like kind of the sun and sky and the roots down into the soil and water, and the horizontal, the other plants around it. That's like us. We need both of these, the vertical and the horizontal relationships, for us to become all that God has for us. I say this as somebody for whom deep relationships don't come easy. I don't know how much of it's nature, like how I'm naturally wired, how much of it's nurture, you know, what's been shaped in me over the years. But I can tell you, it's a struggle for me to have and maintain deep friendships. It always has been. It requires practicing disciplines that I'm often not good at maintaining. But this need for discipline, to do the things that don't come easily, I need to do it with God, I need to do it with others. And I've learned that in my own life and in decades of working and observing others, that how I engage vertically and how I engage horizontally, if I do the work to prioritize these things, it has a huge impact on how I grow, whether for good or for ill. I guess here's the thing. We're all growing in some way. I actually think we're all growing. Our vertical growth is happening in one way, shape, or form. Our horizontal growth is happening in one way, shape, or form. The question is, what kind of growth will we foster? Is it going to be healthy growth that bears good fruit or unhealthy growth? You know, we can relate with God in all kinds of unhealthy ways. We can approach God as a cosmic caregiver, only looking to God for comfort. Or we can approach God as a divine vending machine. Yeah, I've got a relationship with God every time I need something, and only when I need something. We can relate with God as a teacher whose only role is to just give us information. Some of us maybe relate to God more as a prison warden who's just trying to keep us in line. Some of us maybe relate to God as being non-relevant or even a non-existent being. These things will not help us grow in healthy ways. And they aren't the way Scripture invites us to relate with God. The alternative is we can approach God as one who wants to walk with us, one who will never leave us, one who came into the world in the flesh in order to relate to us, talk with us, engage with us, live in mutual relationship with us. This relationship where there's give and take and we can express our frustration and there's vulnerability and complaints, maybe even anger. And through all of that, to be shaped into what God has for us, that healthy fruit can grow. The same is true of how we relate to others. If you're in society at all, you have a relationship with other people. The question is, what kind of relationship? We can approach community, and this happens with Christian communities, this happens in churches. We can approach it as a source of affirmation. As long as they tell me what I want to hear and make me feel good, then I'm in. We can approach community as a duty, maybe as an optional add-on. Well, I guess I can do that too. We can approach it as a nuisance. We can approach it as a place, well, I have to serve to make God happy, so I'll just show up and serve, but not really relate to people beyond that. We can approach the church as an audience for our points of view. or as a place to get what we want, we need. Now, some of these things may happen, but if we approach it with that mentality, with that purpose, it's not going to help us grow in healthy ways. Alternatively, we can approach community, especially Christian community, as somewhere where we get to see the image of God in others, where we get to discern God's guidance together, practice love, where we get to exercise the muscles of extending grace, learning patience, working on listening to each other, having hard conversations. We can see it as a place where, you know what, within community, together, we are getting shaped to grow in ways that align with Jesus. Love God, love your neighbor. It's both directions. Healthy growth comes best when we allow ourselves, when we prioritize, not just allow, when we prioritize engaging in both directions and being shaped in both directions. And that's not always easy. But I'm increasingly realizing that the easiest thing is not necessarily the healthiest. I'm at an age where taking the easy road is starting to have more of an impact. Showing up. This loving God and loving neighbors, it isn't just outward focus, what we do beyond us. And it isn't a flighty thing. It's easy to say. It's hard to do. It's a boots on the ground, messy, cooperative thing in relationship with God and others. It takes cultivating and care. And yeah, we're going to have the hard things rubbed off in the process. And using the plant analogy, some things might need to get pruned. And I don't like that, but it's necessary if we're going to be formed into the image of God that we were always intended to be. God, help us to prioritize the things that we need to really grow well into what you have for us. God, forgive us for the times when we don't lean into the stuff that will help each other well. When we don't say something, even with the best love, because, well, it might make things a little hard or awkward. God, help us to embody this love, this deep love for each other, and this deep love relationship with you, so that we can continue to grow into all that you have for us. In the name of Jesus, amen.